Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Brothers, I thank you for joining us in this episode. It's our new episode, and we're here in the month of February. We're almost through the month of February. If you've received this link on your phone or on our Facebook page, and I thank you and welcome you to join us in listening in for this broadcast and for this episode. We're going to continue our discussion on what we're talking about for the month of February. We're talking about what encouragement, what challenge, what support, or what accountability in our lives. What do we need and where we go to get it, and are we willing to ask for it? Because when we talk about encouragement, who are we encouraging? Who are we challenging? Who are we supporting? And who are we holding accountable? And on the other side of that, with this new year and in the new calendar year, you know, who is in our circle of influence who is encouraging us, challenging us, supporting us, and holding us accountable? These are the things that we have to consider moving forward in the things of God, moving forward in this Christian walk as men of God, to continue to grow, continue to be used by God as leaders in the home, in the community, and in the church. So I got a guest tonight I'm going to bring on. The pastor, Lonnie Davis, is with me tonight, and we're going to talk about some of these things and pray that something is said that will encourage you and be able to press, to help you press and search and be the man that God has called you to be and fulfill the purpose and plan that we all were created for. So I'm moving over prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. First, Father God, we just say thank you, Lord God. We come to you with hearts of gratitude. We come to hearts, oh God, that to seek you, to thank you for being God. Thank you for sending your son Jesus for saving us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, God, that's in our lives, that God directs us, oh God, and speaks to us, oh God. We thank you for the word, oh God, that gives us a standard, oh God, to live by, that it sets the chalk mark, it sets the parameters of our life, oh God, and that we might, as we study the word and apply the word to our lives, God, we live a life that are pleasing to you, oh God. Father, right now I want to pray for families, for wives, for children, for grandchildren, Lord God. I pray for those in nursing homes, in hospitals, in jails, Lord God, for those souls, oh God, that are in need of you today, oh God. We're praying, God, that you, oh God, you see the needs, you see the desires. We pray for those who are struggling in their mental health, their spiritual health, their emotional health, their physical health, Lord God. We're praying for family members, oh God, that are near the bedsides, oh God, that their family member, oh God, is sick or in the hospital or struggling with some sort of disease, Lord God. We're praying for them and have encouragement and God to seek you, God, and seek your will in all circumstances and all things, oh God. So, Father, we ask, oh God, you continue to bless your church, watch over your church, oh God. Father, we pray for the pastors, elders, and all the deacons, and those who labor behind the scenes for ministry, oh God, that the word of God would go forth and people would hear the gospel truth, and also those who will grow in Christ, oh God, that church, the body of Christ, would move from milk to meat, Lord God, and God, fulfill the purpose and plan that you had for your church, oh God. So, Father, we thank you right now, God. I lift up, oh God, my family, my wife, oh God, my guest wife, Pastor Davis, and his family, Lord God. Continue, God. Continue to speak to us, oh God. Guide us and direct us that we might fulfill your purpose. And for the body of Christ, God, that they will live lives to glorify you and advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, brothers, again, this is Issue Christian Men's Talk, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things we've covered in past episodes about encouragement, challenge, and support. And one of the things I want to use to be able to kick off, well, first, I want to share something. Because as us, as men of God, as the body of Christ, as a church in a whole, we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. So that we are, or that we know that we can be secure in our faith by our knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and understanding who we are and who we want to be. So I'm going to give some definition of a couple of terms here to start us off to plant this seed, and then encourage you to search the Word of God to get to a place where you know what you believe and why you believe it, that we can be able to evangelize and share the truth of the gospel with those around us, that we can fulfill the Great Commission in our communities, right where we are and with our families. First, I want to give a definition of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a divine revealed message concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, especially his virgin birth, his righteous life, his substitutionary sacrifice, his atoning death, and the bodily resurrection, revealing who he is and what he has done, with the promise that he will save anyone and everyone who turns from sin by trusting him as Lord. Amen. As he died to be our Savior, and he is risen to be our Lord. So we are surrendered to him, and that's the gospel. Also, I want to give a definition to sin. Amen. What is sin, and why do we need a Savior? You know, because we have to remember that all people were connected to Adam, both naturally and federally and naturally. Therefore, because original sin, everyone is born under the curse of God's law, and all break his commandments through sin. There is no difference in the condition of sinners due to age, ethnic group, sex, or wherever you come from. It's no difference, no matter where you come from in the world. If you are a human being on the earth, we have all sinned. Amen? All are depraved in their facilities and stand condemned before God's law. All human relationships, systems, and instructions have been affected by this sin. So we know that we are living in sin, in a sinful world. But when we come to faith in Christ, we are delivered from sin. And we have to know that it's just not something that no one's born innocent. I know we like to think our children are born innocent, but they're born into sin because of Adam. And that's the whole teaching right there. Amen. So, and the final one I want to share with you tonight to plant these seeds, to encourage you to understand and know what you believe and why you believe it. Salvation. What is it? What is salvation? Salvation is granted by God's grace alone, received through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Every believer is united in Christ, justified before God and adopted into his family. Thus, God is no difference in spiritual value or worth among those who are in Christ. All who are united in Christ are also united to one another, regardless of age and ethnic group or sex, and all believers are being conformed to the image of Christ. By God's regenerating and sanctifying grace, all believers will be brought to a final glorified, sinless state of perfection in the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to put that out there, have something to maybe encourage you to study and seek out and to start to apply and do some of the things that who we are in Christ and who we are men of God. And what, again, it matters what we believe and why we believe it. And once we have that foundation rooted and guided in our faith and we're assured of our salvation and we are called to share that gospel and truth with the world, with the community, in our homes, that all will have an opportunity to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ and have hope for their eternity. Amen? Well, brothers, amen. Amen. Again, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And tonight we're going to talk about a couple of things in that, as men. We're in the year 2022. The calendar year just flipped over. We're in the second month here. So I just want to be able to continue to speak on these things and just maybe possibly stir something up in your spirit, in your thought processes, and again, how we deal with each other as men. As you always hear Issues Christian Men's Talk, I encourage men's groups, men's gatherings, men's Bible study time, when men come together, when you can share, encourage, and strengthen one another, and pray with each other and pray for each other. And that's what we had to do because, you know, as men go, is how the church goes. We need to understand that because God has given us a role and a responsibility as men. Amen. Pastor David, sir, can you hear me, sir? How are you?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you.
Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, Pastor, me, thank you for taking time out and joining us tonight, and I appreciate you greatly.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you for inviting me.
Amen. Well, thank you, sir. Well, sir, I want to kick off again. You know, it's there's a lot to what we talk about today. Well, I'm going to start off with, you know, encouragement and who are we encouraging, you know, and why this is a thing that we should be as men of God, be in that place that we are surrounded in right relationship with one another, to be encouraged and also a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And because I think, first of all of our encouragement should come from the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God, and find that place where we use the word of God that we, again, are encouraged and assured of our salvation. What do you say, sir?
I totally agree with you. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit was talking to me. Well, in my spirit, I felt God, because he had given me a scripture to talk about the points that you brought out to me. And it was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read from verse 9 to 15 so that it'll answer all the questions and speak through the Bible, because Paul wrote this to the church of Thessalonica about 50 A.D. And verse 9, for those who want to pull up the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 to 15. And it goes hand in hand with everything you just said in the first 8 minutes. I mean, it's fascinating how God appointed me to, he guided me to the scripture. And you, everything you said is in the scripture. Verse 9, for God have not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And he at peace among yourselves, and be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, patient toward all men. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to this scripture. And if anybody gets a chance, read the whole chapter. So Paul found out through Timothy that the church in Thessalonica was a good church. They were doing what they were supposed to do. So Paul wrote this letter for encouragement. And so first place we get encouragement from is for ourselves. We got to be encouraged through the Holy Spirit and through the study of the Gospels and of the Bible. That's where we get our encouragement from. So once we self-examine and encourage, get encouragement from the Holy Spirit, then we are able to encourage others with our testimonies. And so as I was reading the scripture, it talks about edifying the brethren, building one another up. That's encouragement. And that's building one another up. And admonishment, challenging. So we got to challenge and support one another. Within these verses are all the things that Deacon Farr sent to me for us to have open discussion. By me being a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my sermons first talk to me, and then I talk to other Christians to encourage them to believe the teachings of the Bible. Then, because first I have to be encouraged through the Holy Spirit as I study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's the key to any type of encouragement. Anytime we talk to somebody, give our testimony. And at the end of verse 15, it said to be patient. And so we have to let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man. So patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And so if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you, man. Because brothers, you had to hear what the pastor's saying, and he found that scripture and what we was talking about, and I agree. I mean, this is why we have to be in the Word of God, and then we have to get to the place where we start to obey it and apply it. I think that's the thing we struggle with a lot as men, and just to get into the Word to the point now that we are starting to apply that Word. Because like you say, in that passage that the pastor read, it touched on all the things what we were talking about today, to be encouraged and how we treat one another and how we as men, when we gather together, when we spend time together, what are we really doing? How are we edifying each other? And that's what we truly have to look at. Because we as men, we get together, we can talk about a lot of things. We can talk about a lot of things that don't really mean anything. But on a spiritual note, who are you handling and who are you dealing with spiritually? What do you say, sir?
I wrote my book because I was in the foxhole, what I call being in the foxhole, frontline ministry. And so in Baltimore City, doing frontline ministry, you see where the gaps are in people's lives. You see the hurt. You see the suffering, and you see the pain. So you can't do anything but encourage somebody that's suffering, that's in pain, that's hurt, and that's causing pain and hurt in other people's lives, especially their own loved ones and family members. So I wrote the book. As a matter of fact, you say, what is sin? I wrote the book, Overcoming Sin, to be like the 12-step program. I gave 10 steps so that somebody would read scripture. They got memory verses for 39 days. And after they go through those memory verses and they put down and do self-examination and they put down their problems every day and examine themselves. The Bible said, let a man examine himself. And so instead of us examining one another, examine yourself. That's the first thing I'm always doing. I know when I say something that's wrong because the Spirit pricks me real quick, especially if I'm talking to my wife and I say something wrong. I can look at her body language.
Yes, sir.
So sometimes we don't even have to give words to encourage people or to challenge them. Sometimes we could just look at them with love, with look at them with patience, with showing them our faith, exhibiting our testimony, speaking about the goodness of Jesus Christ and how our lives was changed once we came into Christianity. That's encouragement. That's edification. Live by your testimony. Give testimony so people can see the goodness of a changed life.
Amen, sir. Amen. You know, and that's all part of who we are. So that's when we should say we ought to be called. We ought to be brothers, brothers. You know, we have to start thinking about, we have to be salt and light in this culture. And I know, you know, Pastor David, you labored and did ministry in Baltimore City. It was even back in the day. And I remember when I first met you. And I think Baltimore City, I don't know if it's got better, worse, or the same. It's hard to say. But either way, I want to say this, too, because, you know, we are Baltimore, but we have a lot of brothers who listen from a lot of different places. It's not always the culture. It's us in the church, too. How is our brother living? The brother that we are connected with every Sunday at Bible study and on Sunday service, that's part of the ministry. Those within our ministry, those who confess Christians, those brothers too are struggling with a lot of things. And I would say this, Pastor, let's get what you think. Are we moving past the superficial relationships to a point where we are in true fellowship with one to another, where we are looking out for one another? And we are come alongside, and we're starting to, you know what I'm saying? Are we really trying to encourage one another in the things of God? And the thing I like to always share, you know, because personally myself, people who know me know my testimony of not being, coming into the faith at, like, I was like in my mid-30s when I came into the faith. So, you know, you have a whole life before Christ, and then when you come into the church, are we setting ourselves up to be an encouragement, to be challenging to a brother, to help a brother to make that transition. I like to say transition, conversion, and more just in the, you know, the salvation of his soul, but now how to live that thing out. Are we in a place where we helping people make that transition in this temple realm on how to live out their faith and to grow in their faith? What do you say, sir?
Yeah. What I found is that everything that happened in the Bible happens every day in our lives. The things that we see, the reason Paul was writing so many letters, because they had some messed up churches back then. Nothing's changed with the body of Christ. Nothing's changed with the people. It's the same people today that was here yesterday with the same problems, with everything. What we have to do is open up and dig those jewels and those nuggets out of those letters and out of the gospel so that there's nothing new under the sun. So we got to stop thinking that things are worse. And they've been saying Jesus coming back since he first left. So, you know, a lot of these things that we say in the church, we confuse people. They come up with these dates, Jesus coming back. Nobody knows the time nor the hour. We got all these misinformation. We are living in an age of misinformation and lies, even on social media. So if you're going to have the truth, you've got to be able to ask God to reveal the lie and the falsehoods. And so a lot of things, because we're getting our information from the media, from the news. Some of it's true, some of it's false. Even within the church, some sermons are true, some sermons are false. You've got to have the gift of discernment to be able to illuminate truth and throw the falsehood out. The devil is the father of lies. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus come that we might have life and that we might have life abundantly. So how do we have life abundantly? We do the things that the scripture and Deacon Farr has suggested that we do first as men, then we do it pluralistic for the household of our wives and our sons and daughters. Then we go out into the community, and if you possibly, you can go out further, like Deacon Thomas is doing on this platform. And so as we encourage one another with truth, the Holy Spirit here is here to guide, to guard, and to govern us. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide, guard, and govern us, because he's not going to try to make us do anything. He's given us free will to choose sin or the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen, 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 brother, amen. Well, gentlemen, I pray that something was said there that in these last few minutes that this would encourage us to who we are and who we are supposed to be as men of God in the church. And then I want to throw this out. I'm going to shift gears, but I just want to put this out there to every brother that's listening, again, that received the text, got the link on the Facebook page, or got it through email, or someone sent it to you secondhand, which I always encourage your brothers to share it with someone in your circle, someone that you may be evangelizing or reaching for Christ. Share it with them, because it might encourage a conversation. They might come back, ask you some questions, or want to know what it means. What must they do to be saved, and what must they do to live different? But Pastor, let me ask you this: when we talk about challenge, because one of the subjects we have encouragement, challenge, and support, and accountability. I want to get your thoughts on the difference between challenging and criticism. Because you know the famous one, you know the famous scripture everybody seems to know, is the Bible says, don't judge me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the famous scripture for those who, whatever reason, they like using that one out of context and everything else. But as the body of Christ, as believers, we are called. Are we not called to challenge one another? And because some people take challenge as criticism, but should we be able to identify and know the difference where we're being criticized or challenged for something better? What do you say, sir?
Yeah, I've got a teaching on that. Matter of fact, I was talking to my son today about it, and he and I talked on the phone for an hour and a half, and I challenged him. And so here we are thinking about criticism. There's two types of criticism: constructive criticism and destructive criticism. Constructive criticism is challenging. Destructive criticism is a negative. So constructive criticism is a positive, because it encourages a person to examine themselves for change. So it's order, construction, edification is to build up. So constructive criticism, it's in the scripture, is to edify, to build up. And to build up, meaning that a person has, you can't be thick-skinned to be a Christian. You got to be thick-skinned. You got to be like a duck and let the water roll off, because somebody could say something that hurt your feelings. But your feelings is not important. Energy, emotion is energy in motion. The Bible tells us to hold every thought captive. So if you think I'm criticizing you, I'm going to make sure I give a teaching first. I would probably say, easy to obtain, harder to maintain. So easy to obtain a wife, harder to maintain a wife. Easy to obtain a job, harder to maintain a job. So I start with a spiritual principle. Then I break it down. Then I ease in some constructive criticism from what I've noticed, experienced personally. And then I ease it in and kind of have the person share with me where they think they're weak at. Because my day one in my book, I have them to write down problems they have. Like if they're a smoker, they will write down, I smoke cigarettes, or If they're a womanizer, they write down, I'm a womanizer. So I give them a scripture because I use Paul as the example, and Paul says, for the good that I wish to do, I don't do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. So I give them scripture and tell them Paul, the apostle, had problems himself. So each one of us can have problems.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This Christian walk's not easy, and every day is a challenge. Yes, sir.
That's right. So I try to give a person a way out, too. It's more than this, but I'm going to give the basic three forms of communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's assertive communication, passive-aggressive communication, and aggressive communication. If you're speaking to somebody from an aggressive communication or voice, they're going to take offense. So if you talk passive-aggressive, you want them people that, like Popeye, I've taken all me can stand, me can't stand no more. And so you'll blow up on a person. But assertive communication is listening to that person's point of view and then patiently speaking to them with grace, unmerited favor, so that you can give them a way of escape. You can express your emotion and your truth, but you give them the option not to receive it or to receive it. And that's what grace is all about, showing unmerited favor to the listener when you're communicating with them.
Amen, amen. And I agree with what you're saying, because it always, again, when we challenging someone, because brothers, you know, because there's a lot out there. But sometimes we can't turn our back on sin. And I like what you said, you know, circling back, that Paul wrote, all the epistles Paul wrote, he wrote to churches that he planted, that he on his three missionary journeys. These are churches he planted and put elders in place, and he wrote those letters because he heard about the challenges in the lives they were living. You know, some of it was they were being, you know, coming under false teachers and that came in and was teaching something contrary to what he was teaching. I mean, that's why it's a lot. And that's why I believe, brothers, as we read the Word of God, we have to read the Word as how Paul wrote it. He wrote it as correction and edifying. There's some stuff you're doing that was not what he taught, them, and there's some stuff he wanted to encourage in some of the areas. And even when we get to the book of Revelations, you know, Jesus himself called out several of the churches for what, you know, he had something against them all. You know what I mean? So we have to see ourselves in that and in the scripture, what Paul is saying. And then when I say in the local congregations and in your circle of influence, the men you're around, you know, we have to look out for each other. You know, and I say this because, you know, when I say challenge and criticism can, like you said, it can be constructive or destructive. But if I come to you and you confess to be a man of God, I confess to be a man of God, we confess that the Word is true, we confess that we are living obedient to the Holy Spirit, so if I come to you, it should be scriptural-based. If I see something in your life, or so you're doing something that's contrary to who you say you are, because a lot of men like to say they're men of God, but are they living like it? And that's what we all have to consider in all areas of our life, not just on the 2-3 hours on Sunday or whenever we're around the saints or around our pastor. So this is what I'm saying about us examining ourselves, because we're called to be different. We're called to think different. And even when life challenges come, as men of God, we are called to respond differently. You not respond out of our flesh and be able to see and like you said, have that wisdom and discernment. And then that only, to me, it only comes with, you know, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, and growing spiritually to the place where, you know, we're living obedient to Christ. We're living, you know, like he is our Lord, and we have hope. Even when the challenges come, I mean, a lot of things a lot of brothers go through, when they lose their hope, I think that's the biggest thing. Once their hope is lost, then they might they default back into whatever, or go another way, or you know, all I've heard all this before, and I've struggled with this too. You know, it ain't working out. It's funny. I like to hear a lot. I hear a lot of brothers when we talk about being in the church, and they say they came to the church and it wasn't working out for them. It just it wasn't their thing. But that tells me they didn't get into the thing. They didn't get into God. They might have gotten into a lot of religious stuff. And but again, you know, it's who we are, and we are called to show love one to another. You know, and I like to use the example of if I love someone and I see them getting ready to drive off a cliff, jump off a cliff or something, what would I not do to save them if I say I love them? And that's what we have to look at each other and look at the brothers that we're with, the brothers in our circle, the brothers in our ministries. You know, how much do you really love these brothers that you don't want to see them end up in a life with that's not glorifying God, and that also they'll make choices that there'll be consequences to. Amen.
Amen.
Please. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, you know, you want to add anything to that? Because this is what I'm saying about us as men. We have to be in a place where we are in really transparent relationships. But now, that fact, let me ask you that, sir. How important do you see it to be in transparent relationships with other brothers in Christ?
You know what I found? The more transparent I was, the people that grew up in the church and think they've been saved all their life and don't sin, they don't want to hear your testimony. I found the sinners want to hear that you were bad. They want to hear that you were a sinner. And they understand being transparent. For example, I was just thinking, a couple guys, when I used to say at my church in the homeless shelter, they were killers. They were actually murderers out there on the streets of Baltimore. And I would take them out and eat with them and encourage them. And I would talk to them about Paul, how Paul's name was Saul, and he was killing Christians. So he was actually a hit man for the priests, for the religious folks. And he killed Stephen, and he killed a lot of people. So I would use actually scriptures to talk to men who were doing that particular sin. If I saw somebody who was womanizing and loved what we used to call skeezers, prostitutes, harlots, and they were going around with harlots and prostitutes, I would take them to the Old Testament. I would talk about Lot and his two daughters. I would talk about a lot of different scriptures in the Old Testament, and I would give them scriptures to actually read so that they could see that the Bible got triple X rated stuff in it also. So look, people have problems being transparent about their past, giving a testimony, because that's what a testimony is, being transparent enough to talk about the negative stuff, but at the end of it, talk about how God brought you through it and changed your life.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I think that's, again, I will say this, Pastor, because, you know, at some point, you know, being saved and being in the church a while, we lose that. But for the brothers out there who might be listening, you know, you have to get to that place. And let me say this. I do want to say this, and I want to get your feedback. It's not necessarily, because I know Pastor Davis, you know, he stood before people. He's preached sermons, and he's given his testimony in the midst of a service as he was preaching. But then also, it's one-on-one. Who in the body of Christ are you connected with who knows you, who know where you came from, know what God has done for you? You may not, you know, everybody doesn't have a pulpit or everybody's not even comfortable, but who in your circle, in the body, knows about your struggles, where you came from, the things you've overcome, that really, as you overcome, because the thing that was to me when I started living right, there was a brother that I could connect with and say, yo, I got over this. I'm not doing it. I lost the taste in my mouth, and some other things are changing, that they could celebrate and continue to, you know, continue to encourage you that you that God is taking this thing away from you. You've been purged. You've been pruned of your sins. Like you've been, Pastor Davis, that's why I love you, brother. You went raw, womenizing. Once you figure out that you got to stop chasing women, and then when you get delivered, somebody should know that. But then also when somebody knows that, so when they see you doing something, because, Pastor, as you know and I know, you got some of these sisters in the body of Christ, you got to watch them because they'll pull a brother back down. We don't go there because I don't want to upset some people. But anyway, but if I know
that's
what you're saying.
Hey, that's constructive criticism.
Okay.
Because you're not calling nobody's name out. You're talking in general. So it doesn't matter.
Amen. But if I know my brother's, if I know that's my brother's thing and he's still single and he's trying to do right and stay abstinent and stay, you know, faithful to God, then when I see something going on, I say, yo, bro, you don't, certain things you can't do. You know, it used to be, you know, I'm talking about men now. I'm not talking about youth and teenagers. I'm talking about full-grown men who, you know, who their virginity is long gone. But now they have to, they're choosing to live right. They can't do and be around certain women or do things with single women in the body of Christ. That's just plain talk, and that's why we need ministry. Because, you know, you understand what I'm saying? So that's when they talk about challenging and pulling brothers up and holding them accountable. But someone has to know that was your struggle. Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
I got a tool that I used when I came back to the body of Christ. If I saw a good-looking woman that got my attention real quick, especially if she's walking away from me, anybody know what I'm talking about? If you want to be honest, I would be looking, and God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit. And he said, this is how you stop going in your mind and thinking raw thoughts. I say, oh, what a beautiful woman God has made. Once I put God in that equation, the lust of the flesh was automatically stopped. I would look at the beauty of a woman and give God the praise for that beautiful woman. That would stop me from lusting in my flesh. I hope that encourages somebody. That's a tool,
amen.
One of the tools that I use to keep me from lusting, because the eye loves to lust after things. And I'm not going to pluck my eye out, literally. Like the Bible says.
But spiritually, I got to protect
exactly.
My eyes. I got to protect what I'm looking at.
Yeah. So I
came
up with that
tool
to control my eye and my thoughts.
Amen. But see, that's what we have to do, brothers. We have to come up with strategies and tools to keep ourselves. Again, I'm not the young men and the teenagers. We have to deal with them differently. But for you old hats who's been out there and you trying to, you know, you want to start living differently, and you don't want to be in those superficial relationships or the things you used to do, and be in the body of Christ and be amongst sisters, you know, because, again, if they're your sisters in Christ, so you count them as like your biological sister, or you put, you know what I'm saying? Because we're going to do this, but I want to say this for the brothers. We all put women in different categories, and we know we do. So we have to start, especially when it's for the single brothers out there in the body of Christ, we have to put our sisters in the church in that category, that they're our sister, that we are called to protect them, you know, encourage them, whatever. You know, the Bible speaks about true religion is the care for widows and orphans. We have to see some of these women in the church, single mothers, as widows and orphans. But we provide and we take care of them. We don't try to, what's the word I'm looking for here? But, you know, to abuse them and you know, and misuse them. but we're here to protect them. And that's part of the things we ought to do as men in the body of Christ also, that when the women come to the fellowships, they should feel a certain way where they're not feeling uncomfortable. Because brothers can make especially single women uncomfortable in the ministry, even in our local congregations. Because I tell you, I've been in church a while, and these are some of the things pastors and elders had to pull brothers up about. See what I'm saying? Because they were doing some things, and the women and the sisters there were starting to feel uncomfortable. And we had to actually, we had to challenge them and hold them accountable. That's two of my things here tonight. But, you know, and some left, and some learned and grew. So, again, we have to be, we have to understand this. These are some of the things we're called to be as men of God and be in our local congregations. And then we have to have discernment to see these things when they happen. We can't be in the midst of the body of Christ and not have our eyes open and be watchmen. We have to be watchmen. That's another thing we have to be. And we're watchmen on souls. We're watchmen on what's going on in our ministries. Trust me, there's a lot of churches who they need watchmen. And some of you brothers in churches right now, they need you to be a watchman for some of the stuff. Because you can recognize, you recognize behaviors in other men. I'll just leave that right there. Amen?
Yeah.
This is Deacon Vaughn. This is Christian Men's Talk. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Well, real quick, I developed a tool also when I came into the body of Christ for me and my wife so that we could protect one another. We used to go down to Inner Harbor, and I would tell her the type of woman I liked from a physical appearance, and she would tell me the type of man she liked from a physical appearance. So whenever we would get into a church environment or any type of environment, and I'm over, if a woman grabbed me in the corner somewhere, first thing I'm doing is looking for my wife, and I'm calling her over.
Amen.
This is the type of woman I like. And she know why I'm calling her over there. So that's
Amen.
That's another tool,
yes, sir,
I use to protect myself.
Amen, amen. Well, I was trying to be nice to the married guys, but you're right. As a married man, you got to watch yourself in ministry also and around the church and in fellowship. Because, again, you just have to be mindful.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
They put you on
the
pedestal.
Leadership. Well, see, that happens in the world. That's why a lot of people in the world, successful people, you know, look at all these athletes and actors and people of influence. They're susceptible, and people and certain folk gravitate to them. What they call them? They call them, they don't call them gold diggers. They call them groupies, I'm sorry.
Yeah, groupies.
It's groupies, and we got church groupies, but this is only men talking, so ain't no sisters going to get upset. But we have church groupies, and again, this is all, but this is part of the nature, it's part of the sin nature, it's part of what the devil tries to do to destroy the church, the character of men, the reputation of brothers, but we have to be mindful of it. Because, you know, as we're talking, I could think of four or five pastors, as you know, nationally known pastors, who fell into this trap. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But, amen. Amen, amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Issue Christian Men's Talk. I'm here with Pastor Lonnie Davis, and we're talking about encouragement, challenging, and supporting, and accountability in the body of Christ for men of God, and how important it is to have people in your life. And also, again, I'm going to go back to who are we as men of God for the mature brothers out there, for those who are rooted and grounded in the faith. Who are you encouraging? Who are you challenging? Who are you in relationship with that you're supporting them through their issues, through their seasons, through their valley, and through their valley experiences, through their mountaintop experiences? Who are we supporting? And I'm going to go to that now. Why is it so important that we support one another? You know, it could be a lot of different ways we could support a brother in what he's going through and with his family or with, you know, it's spiritual. I want to say it's spiritual, and in some time it can be material. And even in that, I'll say this, and I'm going to come to you, Pastor. Even in material supporting, you know, we have to be careful on what that is. And then we have to be mindful, too, that I want to, because I'm going to put this out for the brothers. You can't help someone and then want to hold it up to them all the time and remind them that you helped them. What do you say, Pastor?
Oh, most definitely. Hey, look, you got con men. For example, I've been beat more from so-called pastors than the homeless, than people that don't have anything. I've been advantage of more from Christians than I have from sinners, because my guard is a little down for me thinking that someone else knows better than what they're getting ready to do. And I've been hurt more from the brethren than from the non-brethren. So that's me being transparent.
All right. Yes,
and
sir.
I know some old-time preachers that tried to warn me when I first came back into the body of Christ that a lot of these brothers, I got one sermon I call From Chumps to Champs. Some of the people would be chumps out on the street, and they come into the church and become champs. But that chump used that champ spirit to manipulate the sisters and the brethren so they can get what they want out of them.
Amen.
So I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about anybody specific. I'm just sharing and being transparent to what I've acknowledged, what I've experienced in the body of Christ. So Paul, Timothy, and the letters he wrote to all those churches were experiencing the very same thing, and even wrote to churches that had religion with the priestesses in the temples in that particular city were temple prostitutes. So they had it going on. So we got it going on the same way today. We got temple prostitutes and church prostitutes. And so it's nothing different. Again, the man is the same, whether yesterday or today. The only difference from way back yesterday is that we have the Gospels of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. Because you're right, sir. As the gospel is true, the sin is always there. It's always a generation of sin. There's always a generation, because even if we look around right now, you know, we're in a culture now, in a generation where things that we knew without a shadow of a doubt was sin. Even the sinner man knew he was a sinner, that now it's not a sin anymore. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a choice. It's acceptable.
Oh.
And we got a couple of them around here preaching in churches. But anyway, that's what it is. But see, that's the trick of the enemy, and how, you know, even when you was talking, I was thinking about the wheat and the tare and the wolves in sheep's clothing, and how the enemy deceives, and what he'll use anybody to deceive as many as he can to get them off their faith, to deny God, to get upset with the church. But again, we drift a little bit off with my topic, but these are the things we have to look out for too as men, because again, I believe the more we draw into the things of God, we draw into his word, we live lives obedient to his spirit, we stay in prayer, and again, we build connections and networks with men who have withstood the test of time and grown in their spirit. And you know, and that's what I'm saying about transparency too. We have to know who we're dealing with. We can't be deceived by titles and positions, but we have to actually know people and you know what I'm saying? Build those real koinonia, that real fellowship. We know who we're around. Because again, there's wheat and tare in the body of Christ. There's sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing. These are the things we have to look out for. And like you say, this is the things Paul was warning the church about, all the churches he was writing to, Thessalonica, Ephesus, Galatia, and Colossae. This is what he was doing, because these are the places where he planted, he took the word of truth, but now they need to be encouraged in that walk. And we have to be on guard for. Go ahead, sir.
And you didn't stray at all. What happens is challenges come in many forms. You could talk about a negative and provoke a challenge in somebody who's listening's mind. So once people hear truth, that's a challenge within itself.
Amen.
You follow me?
So if you, yes, sir.
As
I
long
got
as
you. Thank
on
you
this,
very much.
As long as you talking, the Holy Spirit is guiding, guarding, and governing your speech. And you're not straying. You're being prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak truth. And that truth challenges the listener. So you're right on point, because the challenging causes accountability. And what we're speaking about is accountability within the church. Paul's letters was holding people to be accountable to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he starts
Amen.
It off in 1 Thessalonians 5, talking about Jesus and salvation. And that's how you started your message on this platform tonight. Your last word you talked about was what salvation was.
Amen. Well, you know what? I thank God for it. I thank God for what he's doing and his wisdom. And also, Pastor, I do want to thank you. Men and brothers, again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and it's Pastor Lonnie Davis, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Let me just share a quick commercial message. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., we are live. We invite you to join us on Saturday mornings live at 9 a.m. If you want to join the live conversation, the live talk, have a question, you want to be part of the discussion or share some insights and wisdom or what's going on or whatever. Also, if you have a men's group, I know a lot of churches are coming back together, going back into their buildings, doing face-to-face. If you have a men's ministry coming up, plan, please reach out to us, share with us to be part of it. You call in on Saturday mornings. You call in at 646-668-2636. You press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation. You can just listen in to my guest and what we were talking about for that particular Saturday mornings. Again, we are live for our live open discussion. And brothers, I just want to encourage you, you know, continue to press into the things of God, continue to seek him. And brothers, no matter what you're going through, amen, no matter what you're going through, don't never give up. Hope in God, because what we have right now going around the country and the cities, no matter where you are, all the way up from New York to Boston to Philly to Atlanta, in Jersey and wherever you are, you know, God is in control. He's in control of your life. He's in control of the circumstances and situations. But never lose hope. Seek God for what you need and answers in the direction you need to go in your life. Pastor Davis, I'm going to come to you, sir. I'm going to give you the closing remarks, and then you can close us out in prayer. And again, I appreciate you. I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate you for taking time out and sharing. And as always, you know, Pastor, you know, if you ever need anything from me, you can give me a call, because you spending this time and this wisdom is priceless. But if I could serve in any way, you let me know. Amen. Oh, and also, Amen. Pastor, don't forget, let people know about your book, because I know it's on Amazon, so you can put that out there too. But you have it, and you can close out in prayer, sir.
Yes, sir. What I wanted to just say is that the key to all of this is allowing the Holy Spirit to guide, guard, and govern you. That's what I would say. If you encourage anyone, first encourage yourself. Encourage yourself to share your testimony, even sometimes with your own children, within your own family. Your testimony will make room for you. And like your gifts. Your gifts will make room for you, and your testimony can encourage someone else. You know, I've been blessed that I used to give my testimony in churches and wasn't real well received. But the world received my testimony. so much that they put an article in People Magazine, and they called me a street savior. That humbled me, and it let me see that the world is looking for encouragement. They're looking for people who have a testimony. Amen, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want you to bless Deacon Farr in a mighty way. And anyone who listens to this program in the future or even today, bless them in a mighty way. Allow them to do a self-examination. Let a man examine himself. Lord, as we encourage one another, as we show love one to another, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together in unity. And as the Psalms 133 says, that we should all come together as brethren. And so, Lord, as we come together as men, as Christian men, allow our walk and our talk be guided by your Holy Spirit. Allow our integrity and our moral values be guarded by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, allow the Spirit to govern our lives as we walk this walk and talk this talk. Again, Lord, bless the churches in our community and around the United States. Bless the men. And Lord, this is a so-called Black American Month, History Month. Lord, let us look and see that the truth of the matter is you created one race, and that's the human race. Everything else is constructed by white supremacy and by racism to divide us, to stop us from unifying. Lord, allow us to unify with those of other cultures, of other ethnic backgrounds. Allow us as men to open the doors of our hearts and our minds to stop being oppressed in our minds first, and allow your Holy Spirit to free us, to make us free men in Christ Jesus, to allow us to have liberty in Christ Jesus, to allow us to share the gospel of the good news in Christ Jesus. And Lord, bless each and every one of us as we go into this weekend and the next week that's coming. Lord, for there is a time and a season for everything. And allow us to be in your will during this time and during this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor.
Bless you.